This is tape number 7 of a 12-tape series of sermon speeches given by Pastor Zhang in California. The topic is Keys to a Victorious Spiritual Warfare. This particular sermon was preceded by a testimony shared by a Christian sister. First, let me say hallelujah, Jesus. Christian brothers and sisters, fellow Christians, today I'm here to share my personal testimony for our Jesus Christ, what He accomplished, the great things in my body, in my health. The past February, when the doctor diagnosed me my case of ovary cancer, it was quite a late stage case, so it was quite hopeless. And because of that, and it spread out to my gallbladder also. So doctor just said to me, it's a hopeless case, there's no cure, simply nothing can be medically done to really just treat this case. And not until I learned this death sentence from the doctor, then I just started to look up to God for divine healing. And so I started waiting upon the Lord and look up to Him. Then one day God just showed me and three things I need to deal with, three spirits, evil spirits I need to bind, which is the spirit of disease, spirits of death, and the spirit of infirmities. These are evil spirits, I need to bind them so I can start this spiritual battle in the name of Jesus Christ. And the first thing I need to deal with, I was shown, was to bind the spirit of death. Because if I'm occupied by the spirit of death and I could do nothing, I was rendered useless and so weak. There was nothing in me that I want to resist and I wanted to fight back. Also, another spirit is the spirit of infirmity. Infirmity means I was so weak and I was given into the thoughts of this weakened body, and also not only body-wise, also in my mind and in my spirit, I just gave in to this sickness, to the attack of this tumor. So I just think the Lord showed me what I needed to do. So I just pulled all my strength and my thoughts and my courage. I promised the Lord I wanted to fight this spiritual battle. So I just, I was determined to fight this great battle. Even though it seems insurmountably difficult, I wanted to do it. And for all these spirits, to fighting against these spirits, Jesus gave me all the verses. Jesus gave me Isaiah chapter 53 verses 4 and 5. And also He gave me Psalm 138. And the Bible told me that by His wounds we are healed. So I took this verse very personally. By Jesus' wounds, He sustained the wounds on the cross. So my sickness was healed. My sickness will be healed. So a few sisters in the church also helped me. So I proclaimed in the name of the Lord, I shall not die, but live in the glory of God. To live, to see, to witness the glory of God. Even though physical, I was very weak. Sometimes I find it was even very difficult to breathe. I did not feel too much breath in my nostrils. But I still just pulled my strengths, and I just proclaimed in the name of the Lord, I want to fight this spiritual battle. I want to use the great power of the Holy Spirit. I want to experience God's healing. So all of a sudden, one day, I experienced this very excruciating, unbearable pain through and through, from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. Every part of my body ached, and the pain was so cutting, so unbearable. And I thought I was going to die because the pain was too much for me to bear. So, and because of this pain, I had been sleeping alone for quite a while. Because every time the pain attacked and I couldn't sleep, and I would really wake up everyone else around me. So that night, the pain was so bad. I just proclaimed in the name of Jesus, I want to command the pain depart from me. The pain just from any part of my body to depart from me. So I just lay my hand on my liver. I said, in the name of Jesus, I command you pain, just depart from my liver, depart from my other parts of the body. So I just continued to do that. I struggled, even though I was very weak. I couldn't speak almost. My voice was very faint. But I just drew on all my courage and strength in the name of Jesus. Lord, you gave me strength. Lord, help me. I want to fight against this disease. Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, I command, I just rebuke the pain to depart from me. Then because I did that, all of a sudden, the pain just left me. The pain just left me. Miraculously, the pain did leave me. I was quite surprised. But soon after, seems part of my body felt much, much better. But still, the excruciating pain still left with my both sides of my ribs. I still felt the attack of the pain in my on my both sides of my ribs. It was still very, very bad. So I continued to struggle, continued to fight this spiritual battle. I just lay my hands on my own ribs. I said, in the name of Jesus Christ, I want to cast out the demon of pain. I want to cast out this sickness, this pain. I just command you to leave me alone. And I continue to do it every day, day in, day out. I continue to cast out the pain, the demon of pain. I just command the pain to leave me. Then all of a sudden, one day, while I was doing that, all of a sudden, I experienced something just left me. Something, I don't know what, but something left me out. And since then, my last bit of pain in my body left me. And since then, everything was gone. Every symptom was gone. And I was healed. I was healed. I remember in the Bible, it said somewhere, the Word of God is higher than all the names, above all the names on this earth. That means includes Lord's own name. Lord's Word is above His even own name. We all know the name of Jesus is so high up there, but Lord's Word is even above Jesus' own name. So I just hold on to that verse. I hold on to the Word of God. So I just trust the Word of God. I believe in the Word of God. By His wounds, I'm healed. I will be healed. Now I am healed. So let me share with you. The Lord also had shown me that the three demons I need to cast out of me. One is demon of fear. Demon fear is something we cannot treat it lightly. Because once when we harbor this spirit of fear, then we will be rendered useless. We will be rendered hopeless. We couldn't do anything. So another is the demon of pretense. We need to face the problem head on. We need to face in my particular case, I need to face my sickness, my disease, my cancer head on. It is ovary cancer. It is it was so late, there was no cure to it. But I need to confront this problem head on. So we need to cast out this demon of pretense. We cannot turn our face the other way. We have to just face this problem head on. So I remember in Romans chapter 8, God just said to me that if we just live according to the desires of our flesh, then we make God our enemy. So this is a very severe message. This is a very heavy message. So we need to deal with that. Also, I need to cast out demon of self-pity. So, like I said, three demons God wanted me to cast out. One is the demon of self-pity. One is demon of fear. Another is demon of pretense. So our God is victorious. Our Jesus is victorious. Our Jesus has conquered. So do we. So shall we. In the name of Jesus Christ, we can proclaim the Lord's victory. We can also share the Lord's victory. And by the great power of the Holy Spirit, we can also conquer our sickness, conquer our disease, conquer our problems. I want to give all the glory to God. Amen. So here starts Pastor John's message. Thank God for the previous few sessions we have been focusing on the message of how we can fight the spiritual battle in the area of our physical health. And since then, quite a few Christians have shared with me their personal experiences. They started this spiritual battle in small things like stuffy nose, congestions, and fevers or stomach ache, small problems. It's true. It's so right. We need to start to fight this great spiritual warfare by winning small battlefields, by winning small battles. Then we grow spiritually. We will be better trained. We will gradually be more equipped to fight the ultimate spiritual warfare. Just like the Bible said, because by His wounds we are healed. So that's all Jesus accomplished for us on His cross. So no matter what, no matter how small the infirmity, how the disposition we are in, we can proclaim the victory of the Lord. We need to start to practice. We need to start to engage in this warfare by fighting the small battles. Just like the sister just shared with us, the doctor just gave her the death sentence. There's nothing medically we can do. All you need to do is go home and just enjoy your life, remaining days on this earth. And for me personally, for this week, Monday morning when I woke up, I had this ear infection. I had a very bad pain and I suffered in my ears. And I just also command the pain to depart from me. I just proclaim the victory of the Lord. But even the whole day, I still had this great pain. And it's sort of like a different, it's a continuous bouts of pain attacking my body, attacking my ears. And Monday night, we had a prayer and intercession. I went to that prayer and intercession, and other Christians prayed for me. And even right after that prayer meeting, on my way home, the pain didn't leave me. I was still suffering. And so I prayed to God on my way home. I said, God, you got to help me. You have to heal me. You have to take pain away from me, because tomorrow I have a busy schedule. I need to meet a lot of people. So I have quite a few interviews, and I also need to meet a few groups of people. So I don't want people see my painful facial expressions or that. I don't want to cause any misunderstandings. So I just, every time when I feel the pain, I just cast out the demon of pain. I just command the pain to depart from me. And until the very moment when I fell asleep. And you know what, brothers and sisters, next morning when I woke up, the pain was completely gone. So brothers and sisters, we need to start fighting this great spiritual warfare, starting fighting the smaller battles. It's seemingly some so trivial, so small things. So we need to fight these battles and win these small battles one after another. Then we will be better trained. We will be better prepared for this great spiritual warfare. So brothers and sisters, we had a good start. We need to continue. We want to continue on this right path and this courageous path. We need to understand this. Oftentimes when we have sicknesses, diseases, these things were sent by the evil one. Satan sent these diseases and sickness and infirmities to attack us, to crush our spirits. So it is nothing trivial. It is spiritual warfare. So you and I need to come to this understanding. We are fighting this spiritual warfare through fighting against our sicknesses, our fevers, our stomach ache, our just congestions, our stuffy nose, our coughing, our sore throat, all that. Just remember this verse. Just learn this verse by heart. By His wounds we are healed. The purpose of fighting this warfare is not just to have this disease cured, have some sicknesses healed. That's not the purpose. A greater purpose behind this is to fight this spiritual warfare and be victorious and come out and conquerors. So starting from today, we will spend a few sessions on how to fight the spiritual warfare in the areas of our thoughts and minds. So let's turn our Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 to 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 to 5. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Look, it's very important, verse 5. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. So the main message I'm here is we really need to take control of our thoughts, particularly those wandering thoughts. We need to take control of every thought in our minds to make it, to force it into obedience to God. We all know Jesus died on the cross. And where was that cross? That cross was erected on Golgotha, which is a heap of skulls. It's a heap of skulls. So this simple message tells us when Satan attacks, the first area he is going to attack is our thought and our mind. So the important thing, those thoughts and our minds, whatever that is, which is not nailed to the cross, these are the areas, these are the thoughts, these are the parts of our inner being that Satan is going to attack us. So we need to come to grips with this understanding. All our thoughts, all our minds need to obey to God, obey to the will and to the desire and to the guidance of God. Look, verse 4 said, the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they are divine power to demolish strongholds. Here, this verse talks about strongholds and fortresses. Then, what are the possible strongholds and fortresses? These strongholds are something hidden deep in our minds and in our thoughts. We don't even realize, we are not even conscious. These things are evil. These things are evil in the sight of our Lord. And we don't understand these are evil thoughts, or these are dark thoughts. And these are the areas the evil one wants to attack us. For one example is a sense of fear. Sense of fear. So God told our sister just previously, she shared her testimony with us. God wanted her to cast out the demon of fear. So thought of fear and a spirit of fear, it is one of the strongholds we need to crush it. We need to fight against it. And so many of us, we take the sense of fear as granted because we grew up that way. And this can be one stronghold that the Satan can come into us to take hold of this stronghold and establish his residence in one of it. So the ghost of fear is something we need to think about. This is something we need to get rid of. We need to cast this demon out of us. So it is not a trivial thing. It is not a little thing. And in the book of Revelation, it says, for those people who are fearful, who cannot enter the kingdom of God, only those bold and strong, those courageous Christians, they can enter the kingdom of God. So we Christians need to be bold Christians, need to be strong Christians, need to be courageous Christians, need to be Christians of valor, that we can enter the kingdom of God. So we need to replace this spirit of fear with a spirit of boldness from God. So if you and I truly believe we have the life of Christ in the very spirit of ours, then you and I need to come to this understanding. We have a life of Christ himself in us. Then why should we be fearful? Fearful of what? Well, oftentimes we as a human beings, we are afraid of darkness, we are afraid of bad people, we are afraid of even mouse and cockroaches, spiders, we are even afraid of planes falling out of skies. But if we really have these fears, then it is more important for us to cast out this demon of fear, to depart from us, to cast it out, to cast this thing out, and to command the sense of fear depart from us. In the name of Christ, in the name of Jesus, in the victory of the Jesus, we need to proclaim the victory of Jesus. So in the name of our great Lord, we cast the demon out, which is the demon of fear. Another possible stronghold is suspicion. And this is a spirit of suspicion. And I remember years ago, there was this one Christian in my church. This brother, when he was young, his mother gave him a lot of exercise, about 200. It all starts from why. Why this, why that, why this, why that. Because of that, he just grew up to be a person. He did not believe anything quickly. He just was suspicious of everything. He always wanted to ask why. So brothers and sisters, we being Christians, we need to be watchful. We need to be alert to the fact is what kind of things we let our children to read. Oftentimes we have this notion is the more our children read, the better they will be. Not necessarily so. For this past many years, I just gradually realized that it depends on what things we give to our children to read or what books we encourage our youngsters to read. So the important thing we need to encourage our youngsters to read autobiographies or biographies of the spiritual giants, all that. But if on the contrary, instead, we just feed them with all those fables and stories and all these princes and prince and all that, these fantasies, these Disney stories, all these stories end very beautifully in a fantasy, then these children grew up. They were, their mind and their thoughts will be filled with these fantasies. These are unrealistic stories, and some of these kids, when they grow up, they have a tendency to commit suicide. So the important thing, we need to feed our children, we need to guide our children to read true life stories, particularly those encouraging and edifying stories. Do not feed them a lot of romantic novels or love stories. Otherwise, these children will be filled with these romantic feelings, these romantic fantasies. When they grow up, they will realize it's not reality. In real life, the romances, the marital lives, the families are not that perfect. Then they couldn't accept these imperfections. And not only that, and these people have a tendency to fall into a mode of fantasy. That's not good for them to deal with the realities of their grown-up lives. I remember when I grew up, because I grew up in a very tight farm family. So my father was very busy doing all sorts of businesses. I remember when I was very young, I need to help out my father to sell chickens in the morning market. So we need to just give some realistic things for our children to do, to invite them to be involved with the family affairs and businesses. And it is good. It's beneficial to their upbringing. So I remember when I was a kid. So for many parents, both father and mother, they work outside, and our family have very good financial footing. So their children just read a lot of books, but they were not realistic. They oftentimes they fantasize too much. That's no good for these children. So we really need to do something in that area and pay some attention to that area of our children's upbringing. And I also know quite a few well-off parents, even though they are financially sound, they can even afford servants at their households, but they still just put their young children to do their own laundry, things like that. I think that's very good. That's a very wise thinking on the side from the end of the parents. So like I said previously, these strongholds are evil thoughts, are wrong thoughts, or dark thoughts in our inner being, in the deepest part of our hearts, mind, and thoughts. But we don't realize, we're not conscious of it, because we grew up that way, we didn't feel anything wrong with it. And I also realized recently that quite some people, they are proud of their spirit of their promise in the Bible, because they are very suspicious. They are not gullible. They are proud of the fact that they are not gullible. They do not believe anything simply and quickly. And they think they have a very probing mind. They have a very scientific approach towards anything. Before they believe anything, they have to be scientifically and rationally convinced before they were just put their trust into something, and they are proud of the fact that they are that way. But that's not what the Bible taught us. That's not what the Bible taught us. Jesus said, for those who did not see but they yet believe, these are the people who are blessed. So for many of among us, maybe we were cheated by other people, we were hurt by other people, so we became very suspicious of other people, suspicious of the people around us, and that we were have a deep suspicion about the motives of other people, no matter what they do or no matter what they say. And oftentimes we took people wrong for their motives, even though when later on it was proved otherwise, we just let it go. We did not confess our sins before the Lord. Then our spirit of suspicion will grow bigger and bigger and deeper in our thoughts and our minds. And that's going to be worse and worse. So we need to be very careful, otherwise we are opening ourselves up. So the spirit of suspicion will come into us and to build its stronghold in us. A while back, a brother shared with me, on his way to work, he was in his car driving. And he was just thinking about something the night before. Another friend said something, another Christian said something. And he had this thought, so he said, how could he say something like that? How could he? But as soon as he had this kind of thought, all of a sudden in his spirit, he realized that a group of ghosts passed him, overtook him, and passed by him. But one spirit just turned around and said, oh, and that spirit just immediately just came back to haunt him. So this brother shared with me, see, even though he did not even say anything, he did not verbalize, he did not utter a sound, but once he started to develop, to have these thoughts against the other Christian brother, then immediately one evil spirit just came onto him. So he just shared with me, he said, it's so true what the Bible said. The Bible said that Satan is like a roaring lion roaming around, searching for lost souls to munch, searching for these lost souls to swallow. So brothers and sisters, we need to be careful. And the evil spirits, they are looking for those things. They are looking for these spirits. They are looking for these similar thoughts to their nature. So the spirit of suspicion is looking for these people with thoughts, with a sense of suspicion to people around him. Then he wants to build his stronghold in this kind of person, in this kind of people. So brothers and sisters, we need to be very careful. We need to be always on guard. What kind of thoughts, what kind of mind we have in us. if, for example, when we, like this brother, as soon as we sense we have these unhealthy thoughts against other people, against other Christians, we need to immediately confess our sins before, Lord, come into me. Jesus, come into me to help me. Help me to cast out these evil thoughts, to cast out these wrong thoughts against my brothers, against my sisters. And if you do that, as soon as you sense anything which does not belong to Christ, you do this, then you will become much a healthier person. Not only that, the spirit, these evil spirits will have a hard time to find its footing in you and to build its stronghold in you. So Christian brothers, we need to be especially careful, especially on guard of our critical thoughts and critical minds. And it's just simply human nature. It's our human nature. We are critical about people around us. We are critical about things around us. And I think you and I are all familiar with this kind of people in our social circles. When you come across people like that, they are critical about everything around them, and these are the people very hard to get along with. And if you have such a friend or you have such a relative, and you know you will have a hard time to be friends and to be acquaintances with such people. And if your spouse is like that, then you really have a very, very difficult family life. Another possible stronghold is the sense of greed. It's a spirit of greed and the spirit of covetousness. And normally the greed starts from small things. But when you do, when these small thoughts of greed are not dealt with in the name of the Lord, then these things grow. These thoughts grow, become bigger, bigger, bigger issues in you. That's why the Bible said, greed is no different like idol worshipping. That's a very, very severe condemnation. It says greed is nothing different from idol worshipping. So Christians, we need to be very careful. Do not be enslaved by the spirit of greed. And it is so easy to fall to the prey of the spirit of greed. All started from small things. Then gradually these things, if not, they are not dealt with, then these things grow. And your greed become deeper and deeper, stronger, stronger inside. Finally, it will overtake you. And another thing is spirit of unforgiveness. So if you do not have a forgiving heart, you do not have a forgiving spirit, then it is another stronghold, the evil spirit is building inside you. And we just read verse 5, that we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. The strongest, the most powerful weapon of Satan is the pridiness. It's the pridiness. If we harbor any pridiness, then Satan can really make good use of it. So Satan wants to find those people with a spirit of pride. So if you and I are a proud person, we think we are better than other people, we are more capable than people around us, then we really opening ourselves up for Satan to build a stronghold in us. So we need to make every effort to just fight against our spirit of pride in us. So like the spirit of unforgiveness, spirit of pride, the spirit of greed, the spirit of disbelief. The spirit of disbelief is another possible stronghold in us. You and I need to deal very, very hard with it. So spirit of suspicion is feel suspicious about other people. Disbelief is you find it's hard to believe other people. They are slightly different. Another is the spirit of jealousy. Jealousy is another stronghold. We need to deal with it. So often jealousy is something very subtle. Sometimes it is very difficult to sense you are feeling jealous. And for example, you can have a very good relationship with another friend, but because other people's compliments towards this person, and you start to develop this jealousy against him or her, and even though you have this jealousy against him, but you don't realize it. You are not conscious, you are not aware, you feel jealous about this person. So the spirit of jealousy is really something you and I really need to ask the help of the Holy Spirit to fight against him. It is such a stronghold in each and almost every one of us. To some degree, we are attacked, and we have this stronghold in us, and we need to muster all the power we can from the Lord to fight against the spirit of jealousy. So oftentimes we have this many strongholds, and if these strongholds have been within us for a long, long time, we are not even aware of the existence of these strongholds. We don't even realize we have these dark strongholds in us. Particularly the spirit of jealousy. Oftentimes when you see other people stood up to share their personal witness and testimony, and you feel jealousy, but the way you respond, you don't realize it, and in your heart you may say, well, this person just wants to show off, and look, I'm better, I'm just here, I don't want to show off like he does, and this is a sense of jealousy. That's why in Psalms it said, our human hearts are so wicked, who can know human hearts? What we harbor in our hearts, nobody can know, nobody can tell, nobody can just probe into that. Our human hearts are very, very wicked. So if you feel very uncomfortable about one person, and you feel once when you are in one person's presence, and when you even heard about the mention of this person's name, you don't feel comfortable, you don't feel easy, and oftentimes it is the spirit of jealousy is in its work. And oftentimes the spirit of jealousy and the spirit of pride, often it works together, it works in conjunction in you. Oftentimes you feel jealousy about a person because your pride is bruised. Your self-pride is bruised. So brothers and sisters, we need to be very careful. We need to be very careful. And particularly the spirit of jealousy, it's so quick, it's so subtle, we don't even realize we are under the attack of this evil spirit. Remember, I mentioned a few sessions ago, even father will feel jealousy about father, or vice versa. Last time I used the example, both the father and the son, they serve at a church. And because the people complimented the father, the son just feels jealousy towards his father. And sometimes even within the family, the father will feel jealousy about his children because the spouse spends so much time and attention on the children, so the father feels jealousy. Even though we can't prevent such feelings from happening, but we can do something as soon as we sense, as soon as we feel such thoughts and developing a brewing in us, we need to immediately come before God, ask for help, ask Jesus to help us to fight against these dark thoughts. So that's why the verses we just read, if we come into the presence of the Lord, we are empowered. You know, who are these people that are empowered in the presence of the Lord? These are the people who are humble in their hearts. These are the people who are humble in their hearts. Then the Lord will really, really empower these people with a humble attitude and hearts. Oftentimes, God use a lot of different channels to speak to our hearts, to deal with our pride, to deal with our spirit of darkness. Often used through the message of the pulpit, God use our spouse, use our family members, use our pastors, use our co-workers, use our roommates to correct us, to point some things or areas in our lives which we need to look at, we need to deal with. It depends on how we react to these corrections, how we react to these guidance. And if we react in a self-protective way, then it's not going to do us any good. Like when people say we are jealous of something, and our immediate response may be, no, I'm not jealous of him. I just think he is too proud. He needs to change. So brothers, sisters, every time when we are just exposed, we are directed into some direction that we need to deal with, into some areas of our lives we need to deal with, we need to work in, we need to look at, we need to ask God to help us to work through us. Then we really need to grasp these opportunities to pray to God, to God for these needs, to pray to God to shine His light in us, to help us to more fully understand our weakness, understand our just areas of darkness that we need to let God to come into us to help us to get rid of these spirits of darkness, the spirits of evil, instead to replace these the dark areas with the light of Jesus. So what if we do, when people pointed out some our areas of darkness or areas of weaknesses, we respond away like, okay, thank you very much, even though I don't realize it, and I think since you pointed out to me, I must be like that. Brother or sister, could you just help me, and could you just pray together with me? Let's ask the help from the Lord, ask the Lord to shine light into my darkness, and so I will understand, and I also will be enlightened by the Lord with the help of you, so I can know what I need to do to deal with this, what I need to do to correct these. So what I'm trying to point out, this main theme here is, when people come to you, when people approach you to point out areas of your weakness or areas of darkness which you need to look into, if you behave self-protectively, then you just sort of like just shun away from opportunity God is bringing your way for you to work in your weakness, so you can just cast out this demon of darkness to just sort of like to break down the stronghold. You just sort of like shovel that away from your path. So this is something someone God brought into life. So you really need to take a good opportunity of this. So ask the Lord to help you to come into your life, to work in you and through you, so you can develop this character of a Christ. And at the same time, you cast out the demon of darkness. At the same time, you just break down the stronghold of the evil one. And remember another example I used at previous session back, and then one brother just, I just pointed out to him, he has not been very honest and direct, and he did not realize he behaved that way. And he said, Pastor, since you mentioned that to me, out of my willpower, I'm willing to pray to God, let God shine His light to me, to shed His light to me, so I can see why I was deemed as indirect, I was deemed as dishonest. Later on, God really showed him. God showed him in a vision. God took this hardened mask, stripped it off from his face, and which caused him to blood quite a bit. But even though it was a painful experience to him, but later on he said he was relieved, he was set free, he experienced this spiritual revival in him. So brothers and sisters, we need to deal with these dark spirits among us. We need to come to grips of the fact that we harbor these strongholds in us. We have a lot of dark strongholds, these strongholds built by the evil one. Actually, we open ourselves up So Satan can come into us to build a different kind of strongholds that God wanted us to take them out. God wanted us to break down each and every one of them. So the important thing for you and me to do is when God has revealed it to us through no matter what kind of channel these dark strongholds in us, we need to come before God. We need to come to God first to confess. We do have these strongholds in us. We do have these strongholds of darkness within us. And we first confess, we first recognize we do have these strongholds within us. Then we can ask the Lord to help us to take it away, to break it down. So each and every one of us, we need to come before God to ask God to show us, to reveal us, what is my weakest point in my spiritual life. Let's turn to the book of Matthew, Matthew 12, verses 43 through 35. When an evil spirit comes out of a man, it goes through arid places, seeking rest and does not find one. Then it says, I will return to the house I left. When it arrives, it finds the house unoccupied, swept clean and put in order. Then it goes and it takes with it seven other spirits more wicked than itself. And they go in and live there. And the final condition of that man is worse than the first. This is how it will be with this wicked generation. Here we can see the evil spirit, no matter where he is always trying to find a place, find a place he can rest. So the evil spirit is looking for some place to establish his resting place or residence. And that's why we have been saying both God and Satan are trying to find, to establish residence in us. So in our practical life, in our real life, you can see where the trash can is. You will find the mice, you will find the cockroaches, you will find the flies. So it depends upon what kind of thoughts we have. If we have dirty thoughts, filthy thoughts, and bad thoughts, then yes, and the evil spirits will find a place to rest. One example is pornography. And it is attacking everyone in this world. And oftentimes, through the internet, through the computer, we were all of a sudden, even we did not intentionally do it, and maybe one just lewd picture or pornographic picture, an image will pop up on the screen. And it depends on how we respond. If when we see it, we just put it right away, we just kill the image, then that's good. But if you take a second look, if you take a third look, then this lewd image, this pornographic picture, just set its foot inside you. And you start to develop these sexual immoral thoughts. All these dark thoughts, filthy thoughts starts to develop, starts to grow, starts to set root inside you. Then you can see if you harbor, if you house these evil thoughts, then the spirit of darkness will build its stronghold inside you. So remember, when you have filthy thoughts, when you have dark thoughts, then it smells. And the reason the trash can attracts the flies, cockroaches, mice, because it smells, it stench. So the stench attracts these animals like flies, mice, and cockroaches. But in the same token, if we have these evil thoughts, these filthy thoughts and lewd thoughts, and because of these thoughts emit stench, emit smell. This smell will attract the spirit of sexual immorality, spirit of darkness, to come into us to establish its stronghold. And in this analogy, we see that he couldn't find it. He did not find a rest place. So he said, I will return to the house I left. When it arrives, it finds the house unoccupied and swept clean and put in order. Then it goes and takes with it seven other spirits, more wicked men itself, and they go in and live there. And the Christian brothers, this is an important message. First, let me say that. And Christ should be our home of thoughts. Let me repeat. Christ should be our home of thoughts, home of our minds. So if you do not focus your thoughts all the time on Christ, if you do not focus your mind all the time on Christ, then your thoughts will easily be attacked by the different things of this world, particularly evil things of this world. So now, oftentimes when we feel we are in spiritual difficulty or spiritual low, we often ask other Christians or pastors to cast demons out of us. Yes, and when this is done, it seems the demon within us is cast out, but only for a short period though, because our minds, our thoughts are not changed. We still let these filthy thoughts, these dirty thoughts and minds linger in us. And because of that, so the evil spirit, even though other Christians, other pastors, they helped us to cast them out, and they will come back. They will come back. So it is very important. This is an important message here. So we need to really just keep our thoughts and our minds pure and holy before God. So when on the other hand, this is another message for from different angle. If when we are leaders of the church, we are Christians, and we are asked by other people to cast out demons, cast out the spirits of darkness out of other Christians, we need to be careful. We need to be careful. Oftentimes we need to talk to these people first. We need to find out a little bit more details about these Christians. We need to find out the spiritual status of these people. And before we do casting out the demons for them. Otherwise, we, in the name of Jesus, we cast out demons out of these Christians, but their minds, their thoughts did not change. They still let these thoughts of darkness stay within them. Then the demons will come back, will come right back at them. And the verse what just we read here, it's a very important warning to us. And the final condition of that man is worse than the first. So the important message here is one great Christian leader said, all spiritual warfare starts with a proclaim in the victorious name of Jesus. It starts with a proclamation of the victorious name of Jesus. Then it just accomplished, it just completes with having the character of Jesus developed within us. So this is a very important saying. It is a very important teaching to all of us. So if without the character of Jesus being developed and being grown and instilled within us, we can cast out the demons, or we can have demons cast out of us, but our character, our life is not changed, our just attitude is not changed, our minds and thoughts are still filthy, we still let these thoughts of darkness and filthiness come into us, we do not deal with them, then we are doing ourselves no good. So important thing is we need to keep our thoughts and our minds pure and holy before God and men. That's why in our church, I have emphasized that we Christians need to really practice inner life. We really need to practice the whole set of inner life, different aspects of inner life, like waiting upon God, spend quality time before God, and we need to fast before God, spend time on our knees, pray to God, read the Word of God. We really need to focus our minds and thoughts on Christ. And if we do really spend and focus our minds on Christ all the time, then the evil one, Satan, simply does not have a chance to attack us, because we are not opening ourselves up. We are not making ourselves vulnerable for the attack of Satan. So the important thing, we need to submit our thoughts and mind to obey Christ. That's the importance. some Christian brothers and sisters, another thing we can do is to love our Lord, to really love our Lord, to always just say to our spirit, Lord, I want to love you more. Lord, I want to love you more. Lord, help me to love you more. Lord, to make me love you more. Lord, to give this desire to me to love you more. Lord, give me, grant me this thirst for you. I want to submit to you. I want to obey you. I want to be on knees before you. Lord, I want to dedicate my mind, body, and soul to you. So if just casting out demons out of us, or cast the demons out of the people around us, it's only the job have them. The important thing, which is more important than have the demons cast it out, is to love the Lord more, is to focus our mind and thoughts on our God, is to submit our thoughts and mind to God. So before we cast out demons for other Christians or for other people, we really need to talk to brothers and talk to these people a little more, find out their spiritual status. We have another Christian in our church, and this brother works in a very competitive technological field. And he has this manager who is very bossy, not only that, and it seems that during his engineering work, and his boss checks on him almost every hour or so. Not only that, without his solicitation, the boss offers a lot of guidance and corrections on that. And because of that, the co-workers working in the same group, in the same team, they all dislike the boss quite a bit, dislike this manager quite a bit. Not only that, one co-worker even developed a disease and developed this stomach problem, and he wanted to quit the company. And this co-worker, because of the imperfectness of the manager, so this person suffered a physical health and physical problem. And he really experienced a major problem, and he wanted to quit the job, and he became a very bitter person and very unhappy person. But for our Christian brother, because he practiced this inner life before the Lord, so when the manager just checks on him every now and then, and this brother took it in a very positive perspective of this whole issue. And he did not just develop any grudges against the manager. On the contrary, and he thanked the Lord for it. He said, Lord, and you gave me this manager. He checks on me every now and then. And he gave me so many suggestions and corrections and advices. And I found some of them are quite useful and they are correct. And Lord, I thank you for that. And so not only he did not develop any grudges or any dislike or any unhappiness or grumbles against this manager, and he became very happy, and he enjoyed his job quite a bit. Not only that, because of this happy attitude, the manager developed very deep favor for this employee, and the manager liked this employee a lot, and he became the manager's most favorite employee. And not only that, after quite a while, and the manager just stopped checking on him anymore, because this employee's, our brother's contribution is so outstanding, and he did a great job. The manager trusted him completely, so he stopped checking on him anymore. And the brother showed me, you know what, and since my manager stopped checking on me, I missed out on something. And now I'm on my own. Now I feel a little bit pressured. Before, when everybody found it was stressful, I found it was very helpful. Now I'm all alone. Nobody is checking on me. Nobody is watching over me, over my shoulders. Now I feel a little bit stressed and pressured because I'm all on my own now. See, this is one example. The environment is the same, the surrounding is the same, but a person with the proper perspective, with a proper spiritual outlook, And this person has such a different attitude, such a different feeling about the things around him. Because our brother just humbled himself and he sensed that everything, even though the boss was checking on him every now and then, he sensed that there is a guiding hand of the Lord behind all this surrounding, all this environment, all this happening. Because God's controlling hand is in every nitty-gritty detail of his life. So we need to do the same thing to our children. So we need to guide our children to the onto the right path. And if we brought our children right, when we children just grow up, when they start dating, they will develop a very healthy interpersonal relationship with their dates, with their schoolmates, with their teachers. Let's turn to Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7. Proverbs 27, verse 7. It says, "For he is the kind of man who is always thinking about the cost. Eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you. Eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you." So the important here is our thoughts are very important. We will become a person which is guided, which is determined by our thoughts. Our thoughts is the directing force, is the guiding force. So what kind of thoughts we have in our mind, in our hearts, then we will become a like person. Our person will reflect what our thoughts are. So how we react, how we behave in our life, it really reflects. It reflects what kind of thoughts we have in our in us, what kind of heart we have within us. Let me repeat once again. The best way to keep ourselves in our presence of the Lord is to love the Lord more, is to focus our mind, focus our thoughts, focus our heart on Jesus Christ, on Christ. Every moment of our life, let's focus on our Lord. Once when our thoughts are harbored on our Lord, in our Lord, then we have this rest within us. Nothing can jolt us. Nothing can affect us. Years ago, I also encountered this Christian brother. And he just recently graduated from college and he was looking for a job. And for a short while, he did not find anything. And once he expressed this to me, he said, "Well, somehow I have a feeling anything good will never happen to me. Happening to me will not be anything I wanted, any good." Then I was surprised. I said to him, "How could you think that way? Why did you think that way? Because that's not what the Bible said. That's not what the Bible teaches. I think you need to confess your sins before the Lord. The Lord even gave his very own life for you. How come he did not want to give anything good in your life? The Lord has arranged everything in your life must be the best for you. The Lord only gives good things to your life, never bad things. You really need to come before the Lord to confess your sins, confess your evil thoughts, these pessimistic thoughts and these negative thoughts. You need to trust the word of the Lord. The Lord will good things for you. The Lord has his arrangements for you. The Lord has anything for you according to his time, not your time. So you need to come before the Lord to pray to God, to ask for his forgiveness, and then ask for his help, ask for his provision, and he will guide, he will lead, he will provide." And a short while later, he got a job and got a very good one. But Bible also said, for those things you are afraid of, these are the things coming your way. That's what Bible teaches. So we need to be very careful about our thoughts. For those things you are afraid of, these are the things that are coming your way. Okay? So do not let the spirit of fear stay in you. Just as soon as you feel any sense of fear, you need to proclaim in the name of the Lord, "I'm not afraid. Lord, I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid of darkness. I'm not afraid of cockroaches. I'm not afraid of mice. I'm not afraid of this. I'm not afraid of that. Even though these things are bothering me, even though these things are making me fearful, Lord, in your name, I'm proclaiming your victory. So I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid. So we Christians need to proclaim that all the time. We need to say to ourselves, say to our own spirit out loud, I'm not afraid. Lord, I'm not afraid. By you, I'm not afraid. In you, I'm not afraid. So we need not to be afraid of anything. You, not only the things I just mentioned, maybe someone in our lives are giving us some trouble, or just saying bad things, stabbing us in our backs, all that. We can proclaim in the victory of our Lord, say, Lord, I'm not afraid of this person. I'm not afraid of attacks from this person. Lord, I'm not going to do anything. I just leave everything to you. I leave everything to you. This happened so many times in our lives of our Christians, even in our own churches. If you really present everything, leave everything in the hands of the Lord at his appointed time, he will work, he will change. And it has been proven so many times for this kind of personal attacks. If you pray to God, if you focus your thoughts and minds on God, in a while, God will take all these troubles away, and all these things will be gone, will be history. As long as you just trust in the Lord, as long as you believe the Lord, everything happening to me, it is out of your permission. It is out of your allowance. Lord, I just trust in you. Lord, I leave everything to you. I think you will deal with these things. You will take care of these unhappy happenings. I trust in you. I have no doubts. I'm not afraid of. Lord, I leave myself to your hands. I trust you will take good care of me. So like we all understand, we fight the spiritual warfare. We are not using the weapons of this world. We are using the spiritual weapons which is provided by our Lord. The important thing we need to do is before we start engage in this war, we need to proclaim the victory of Jesus. We need to proclaim in the name of Jesus. We can just be empowered by the Holy Spirit. Then we can start fighting this spiritual battle. And we really need to be determined. We need to to have the Spirit of God living with us. We want to keep the presence of the Spirit of God in us. We want to cast out a demon or of darkness, a demon of suspicion, demon of unforgiveness, the demon of fear, demon of jealousy, all that kind of thing. We need to cast them out. As soon as we feel the first onset, first signs of the thoughts along these lines, we need to proclaim in the great name of Jesus. We need to command these thoughts depart from us. We need to proclaim in the name of the Lord, I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid. Lord, I do not want to disbelieve. I just want to completely put my trust in you. I want to believe in you. Lord, I know you have a good planning for me, and you have a great, wonderful things in plan for my great life. And I want to trust in you. I want to believe in you. I want to submit my thoughts and heart to you. I want to be a Christian which is obeying Christian to you. Let's turn our hymn book to 184. Here terminates this session of message.